Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Whole Scoop Radio with your host, Carol Ferraci, your health and wellness resource, where you get the whole scoop and nothing but the scoop.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Whole Scoop. Here we are again. We are the Health and Wellness Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Carol Ferraci, registered licensed dietitian. But, of course, if you've been listening to us, you know that already. And you know that you'll find me at naturallynutritioninc.com. If you're just listening for the first time, the premise of our show is to provide you essential information that you can use for yourself and your own health and wellness. The stipulation is that all of our guests are highly qualified in the topics of discussion. That being said, I got to tell you the business, and that's that I have to remind you that while our guests are highly credentialed on each topic, it's recommended that you seek medical advice prior to implementing any and all interventions discussed on this program. But tonight, I don't know if you're going to have to do that. It's up to you. But tonight is Ask a Question, Change Your Life. So all of those that are willing and able to ask a question, change your life, what does that really mean? Understand it. Go with it. Tonight's the night. And we have the most fabulous guest that we always have on this show. She's fabulous, wonderful, and all that stuff. And I'm going to tell you about her in just a second. But again, some more business. You can find us on Facebook at the Whole Scoop Blog Talk Radio Group. Please join us and join in. And those of you listening, give us questions, tell us comments, be a part of this because that's what the show is about. 347-855-8894 is the number to call in. That's 347-855-8894. You can ask a question if you need to. We will be taking questions a little bit later in the show, although I got to tell you that sometimes we just get on a topic and we just keep going. So you have to press the number one in order to let me know that you have a question. So press the number one to get in that queue. So, all right, that's the business. Let me just tell you, we have Susan Schatzer with us, and Susan is on the road to being, or actually she already is, just a fabulous, wonderful, intuitive, I could just be here all night telling you, describing Susan. But let me just tell you a little bit. Susan was in a tough place, suffering from a chronic illness and a destructive divorce, and she herself asked a single question that changed her life. So who better to have on this show than to find out how overcoming all of that just by asking one question. I'm going to kind of skip through some of her bio because you can find that on our blogtalkradio.com page. She is, all of her information is there, but I'm just going to tell you a few things. She is a number one best-selling author at least 6 times. It's probably up there now. I'm going to let her tell you. She's an international facilitator for consciousness and known as a consciousness revolutionary. She has appeared on multiple television networks in the U.S. and Canada. She has a natural gift and a talent for both TV and radio, and she's also functioned as a casting director and host for shows such as Ask Bon Bon, Ask a Question, Change Your Life. She's run successful coaching businesses, become a Bars Body and Certified International Facilitator with Access Consciousness, and now is the CEO from the Creation to Cradle. And she's doing so many other things that it's just fabulous. And I'm just going to stop talking, and I'm going to bring Susan on and let her talk a little bit because that's who you really want to listen to tonight. Susan. Hello, Susan.
Hi, Carol. Thank you so much. That was an amazing introduction. I am so excited to be here and with all of your guests.
Well, you know, Susan, every time that we have you on, it's just always mind-blowing for me because there's never a time that I don't learn something and there's never a time that I don't feel some kind of shift that is positive for anything that I'm doing at the moment. So thank you very much for being here tonight.
Well, I am so excited and grateful, and thank you for the invitation.
Oh, you're welcome. Let's do Ask a Question, Change Your Life. What does that mean? How does that happen? Well, I mean, again, we're the last show that we did, we really kind of picked it apart and went basic with some of the things that you do. I'm going to stay along that theme a little bit. So when I say ask a question, change your life, let's just jump right to how it is that, you know, why is that? We're the way that we phrase something is it gets in our DNA. What does it do? It kind of just says, hey, this is what you're thinking, and it shifts, or we're not phrasing it appropriately and we're creating our own destiny with it not necessarily the one we want. How does that work?
Yeah, thank you so much for asking that. Did you know that anytime you ask a question, Carol, it always empowers you, and anything else disempowers you?
What do you mean anything else?
So anything other than a question, for instance, a decision, a calculation, a computation, a judgment, any of those things right there, like they actually stop you from receiving.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So if I want to change my life right now, if I want to say, okay, I need to break out of whatever orbit I'm in at the moment and experience something new, how do I do that? What do I do? How do I know that, number one? Let's start there. How do I know that? Maybe I just am going on with life and I'm just living my day-to-day stuff and I think I'm happy, but it could be better, or I'm struggling and I think that's the way it's supposed to be, or I'm just kind of like saying, hey, you know, maybe a change would be good. How do I know? What do? How do I say it?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I would ask everyone just to do like a little self-assessment. And if you are not living in abundance with joy and ease and fun and happiness, then you are probably have some kind of lack or block in receiving or both.
Okay. So let's kind of walk through it. I'm a person that let's just say I've been in the same job for a while. Let's say that the job is okay, but it's not really what I want to be doing. I'm not really living my dream, and I think that I can, but hey, practicality sets in. I got to pay the bills. I got to make sure that I'm responsible, and you know, so I'm doing this, but at the same time, it's not really what I want to be doing. So if I'm that person, then what questions do I ask?
Great. That's a great scenario to start with. Awesome. So if you have something in your life that's not working for you, go ahead and start asking questions such as, you know, is this fun for me? If you get a no, then maybe there's a change that should take place. And if when you ask the question, like, what would be fun for me? And is this working for me? And if it's not, what would work for me? So when you start to ask those questions, your brain, your mind, like, starts to come up with another possibility for you. If you're kind of like, does this work for me? Well, no, it really isn't working for me. Okay, well, what would work for me? And your brain and your body and the energy, because everything's energy, starts to contribute to you to bring you, gift you the awareness of a different possibility.
Hmm.
So that's the target of asking a question. If you know you're in a dead-end job, if you're not happy, if it's not working for you, if it's you don't have the fullness of everything, it could be a relationship, it could be your money flows, it could be anything at all, literally, where you're living, what you're driving, who you're with. If it's not working for you, if it's not fun for you, go ahead and start asking questions about what would be fun for you and what would work for you, and allow your awareness. Because do you remember when, if you've ever, like, have you ever really wanted a certain car, Carol? Like the make, the model. Yeah, right? So the minute you put your attention on that car, that color, that make, that model, you go down, you take a picture with it, you smell the leather seats, the new car smell. How often do you now see the car?
You see it all the time when you do that.
Yes, because what you put your attention on, okay, actually shows up in your life. Like, so when you're putting your attention on a dead end job, how it's not working for you, do you feel how the energy just stops? That's it. There's no possibility there. It's a dead end job. Yeah. That's it. Maybe you could, maybe you don't. And a lot of people use the word want, W-A-N-T. I want another job. I want to do something differently. Well, the dictionary, the definition was actually changed on us way back in around 1946. And you can go back and you can look them up. And the definition of the word want actually is like a paragraph long. And the whole paragraph, the top of it down, when you're reading the definition, is all about lack and not enough and scarcity. And then you get down to the very last thing, and it says what you desire. So somewhere along the line, we started to get implanted with asking, what do you want to be when you grow up? And what do you want for your birthday? And what do you want to eat for dinner? And what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? And what do you want now? And what do you want next? And what do you want to watch? And where do you want to go? And what do you want? Well, it's all about lack. So the universe, because everything's energy, actually has the understanding, you know, knows that you're actually saying want. If you want more money, you say, I lack more money. So if your verbiage, if your language, because language is part of our limitation, has the word want in it quite a bit, you may want to take a look at that and shift into I have. Because want is all about the future. If you want something, that means you don't have it. That's how it kind of works. But you really want to have more money. You really want to have more or a better job that's more fulfilling for you. So we get rid of the want, and you're going to have it. So I have a great job. I have an amazing career. I have more money. And would you be willing to say, if an income is for you, would you be willing to say, I have more than enough money and always too much to spend? That vibrational frequency is aligned with abundance, and therefore you're vibrating at abundance. And
I think everybody would want you to repeat that. Let's repeat that one, because I don't think there's anybody who doesn't really want to hear that particular line.
Sure. So would you get rid of the word want and input, I have more than enough money and always too much to spend? And that is the vibration frequency.
I feel people laughing right now.
Great. Laughter is...
They're like trying to wrap their head around. I'm just kind of speaking for them that aren't speaking yet. I'm speaking for those that are kind of smirking going, boy, wouldn't that be nice? Now, when they do stuff like that, does that negate what we're saying?
No, when they say, would that be nice, that's a conclusion. That's a decision
okay.
and a judgment, all wrapped up into one. So they just stop themselves from receiving.
Okay, got it. So let's make sure they understand that. How did they stop themselves from receiving?
When you don't ask a question, you stop the possibilities from showing up. Because if you decide...
Oh, it goes right back to asking the question. You have to stay in the question mode.
Yes.
Okay,
what would be
cool.
more fun? What would it take for me? Yes, absolutely. Being the question.
So if I have more money, I have more than enough money and always too much to spend is not a question. It's a frame of it's a vision. It's like
yes.
it's like finding that car or having a picture taken with that car that you want, that you desire.
You can just throw the words right in front of it. What would it take to have more than enough money and always too much to spend?
Okay.
The key part
of
it.
So now let's just do this, okay? Just humor me for a minute. If this is the case, then tell us, just walk us through a couple of, give us some examples from the people that you've worked with, things that have happened to you. Let's just break this down so people really understand how things have changed for people and why this actually works. This is ask a question, change your life. Why does that work?
Yeah, awesome. So it works because everything is energy. And the amount of scientists have shown that the amount of energy that's here right now in the universe is the same amount of energy that was here when the universe was first created. That you cannot destroy energy or create energy. Energy just transforms. So what's energy? Well, we're made of energy. We're energy. The phone I'm speaking on is energy. The car I drive is energy. The food we eat, the clothes we wear, the technology we use, it's all energy. And where science meets the awareness part, which is what I discovered, is when scientists have shown when they have thrown particles through the double slit, called the double slit experiment, when they throw particles through it, they act randomly, and then they bring in an observer. So like, oh, let's see what happens when we watch this in action. Well, when they bring an observer comes in and watches the scientific experiment, the particles were not acting random any longer. The particles were acting exactly the way the observer believed they were going to act.
Okay, and stop that, right there. Wait, stop right there, okay? So if you have a preconceived idea, you believe that's how it's going to be, it will be.
Yes.
So it's no different than if you you are envisioning that you have enough money and always too much to spend, you are going to have enough money and always too much to spend. Correct?
That would be a conclusion. Well, that
That's
would be a
conclusion.
Yeah.
Okay. So there are no conclusions?
There are no conclusions in what?
I'm asking. Conclusions there are no conclusions. You just ask the question, move on, and you just keep building on questions. Correct? Not correct.
Yeah, you keep choosing for what works for you. Because so many of us choose from responsibility and obligation, Carol. Like, you're responsible for this, you're responsible for that, and you have to do this and you have to do that. And it's not actually what you'd like to choose to do. It's not what you'd like to have. It's not what you, you know, would really like to create in your life. But we do it because of responsibility and obligation. And what that does is that locks everybody else into showing up exactly that way. So, for instance, how many of us have roles and responsibilities? You know, the role of a parent, a homeowner, a boat owner, a pet caregiver, school teacher, whatever our jobs and our roles are, it's like you literally have to cut, fold, staple, and paste yourself into the box of that identity. Because if you step out of that and you show up differently, you'll be judged for it. Well, that's not right.
Okay.
He shouldn't, and they're not supposed to. So there's a lot of factors that go into play when you're playing the role.
Okay. So let's break it down some more and why don't you give us
sure.
a couple examples. I kind of cut you short from doing that. So just, you know, use some maybe, you know, clients or your own things. Just walk us through that process. As a novice, okay, like when somebody first came to you and really didn't know what they were, just kind of work us through how asking the question and building on that changed somebody's life for some reason.
Sure. You know, it may be helpful if we take a caller and then we can do it live.
Okay. Anybody want to ask a question? Press the number one.
Yeah. And if there's anything that's not working for you and you'd like to have some awareness on where it could be coming from, where it could go, what your choices are, what some possibilities could be, then yeah, press star one. Is it pound one? Star one?
No, it's just one. It's just one, I think. Let me just make sure of that, because I thought it was just one, because that's what I've been saying all this time. Maybe that's why. No, you have to just press one. So we'll wait, let everybody kind of soak this in a little bit, because nobody's pressing one yet. So let's just take a – give me a client that comes to mind that the light bulb went off a little bit and things just started to turn around a little bit for him or her?
Sure. So I work with a lot of clients who have a point of view about something that prevents them from receiving what they'd actually like to have. And a lot of the points of view that we all have, we actually picked up before the age of two. And two is a key, two and three are key ages because you haven't quite put all the filters on, like they haven't quite been installed in your life yet. So you don't have the filter. You're just so excited. You're so happy. You're running around. You're throwing things down. You're picking things up. It's just super, super fun. Well, about the age of two to three, you start asking the question, why? Why? Like, why, Dad? Why, Mom? Why? And you have the awareness that there's a different possibility available for these adults. And why? Why are they choosing the insanity that they are? So as adults, we have all these filters in place. We have filters for sexuality. We have filters for gender. We have filters for clothing style. We have filters for careers. We have filters for education. Anything you can possibly think about, we have filters. And it's like the Matrix. It's where we are locked in. It's where you have decided or chosen that you would be and have and do a certain thing. So at two, you're like, well, why? Like, we're going to grandma's house. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, we don't have fun there or whatever it happens to be. The kids are gonna show up and they're going to ask you why you're doing that, why you're choosing that. And you know how adults handle it? Well, because I said so. You know,
yeah.
Because I'm mom and I'm the adult and you're the child. Like, that's a losing
right.
battle. It's like the child knows.
So,
that,
no, go ahead. I'm sorry. I was
going to say the child knows that there's a different possibility. The parents just aren't willing to be aware. And they're not willing to choose what's going to work for them. Children choose what works for them all the time. Like, why can't I wear my ballerina dress to church? Why can't I wear my Spider-Man costume to school? That would really work for me today.
Okay, so let's go back then to the first question with, if I'm the person that's stuck in that job, what questions do I ask myself? When I say, this doesn't really work for me, what will work for me?
Yeah.
Is that working? What does that look like? And then what kinds of things through your experience do you see happen to people? Like, is it baby steps or is it leaps and bounds that they can, you know, people can expect to change or, you know, how does that happen?
Well, I like to have clients come and, you know, work with me individually because everybody is set. And everyone has a different childhood and different things that have gone on and different barriers and blocks and walls that are in place, a lot of which has been invisible to a lot of people most of their lives. And it's been like an invisible limitation. And so it'll show up for you in the manner of a loop or a pattern. So if you feel as though you're on like the Indy 500 and you're looping around and around and around with your job, you have an invisible limitation there that's holding you in place. And so what we can do is start asking some questions so you can start to see past the loop and look for the exit ramp. And that's what questions do. Questions take you out of the circle, take you out of the pattern, take you out of that loop and give you a possibility of going left and right versus only straight ahead, or being able to see a different possibility and be able to go, you know what, I'm getting off this ramp. And it may be in a relationship, it may be in a career, it may be in a job, but asking the question is what opens the door, literally opens the door. It cracks the window and you're able to see through to the other side and be like, oh, hey, you know what, that looks interesting over there. Let's go try that. Let's go check that out. Let's get some more information. The question is the key.
Okay, so, and I understand that everybody's different, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot here with trying to generalize anything. I'm just trying to get people to understand that it is important to ask questions. It is important to build on those questions, but also to have the awareness of what questions or what type of questions without the closure, because I've caught myself and I continue to catch myself even every single time I talk with you or every single time that I ask or something even on this show. I've done some, for lack of a better term, chosen the wrong direction on the question, or presented some closure, or did some kind of something that was going to hinder my progression. So, you know, and I've talked with you a number of times, and I still do it. So that's where I'm coming from. I'm really not trying to put you on the spot here, because I totally understand that everybody's different. Not everyone's going to have the same results, so we need to preface all of that. These are just examples of maybe, you know, like did you have somebody that maybe, you know, I don't know, totally needed to change up their relationship and was stuck in a rut of a bad relationship, and then how did, because that didn't, I'm sure, happen overnight, but it takes a while when you're in a bad relationship to actually understand how to not be in that relationship anymore.
Yeah, and I am included in this. I absolutely am. You know, I, like you were saying at the very beginning of the show, you know, chronic illness, abusive relationship, you know, families 8 states away, you know, they want me in the hospital kind of a thing. So it was, and I have a newborn. So yeah, it really was asking a question which empowered me to have a different possibility show up in my life. You know, it was decision, decision, decision. It was calculation. It was computation. It was pro and con list. It was do this because, do that because. It was shoulda, coulda, woulda, you ought, must, try. You know, all of those I grew up with. You know, we all grew up with them. That's what we were trained to do. You were trained to find the answer. You have to get the answer. It has to be the right answer. It has to be a good answer. Well, the answers are what stops you from moving forward. Oh, you got it. Yeah, you did a good job. You got it right. Okay, well, that doesn't actually lead you to what's next. When you ask a question, it takes you and the energy, because everything is energy. So you as energy, forward motion. And yeah, it's sort of like when you went to kindergarten, you know, you learned how to count. So you were counting 1, 2, 3, 10, 11, 12. You got to first grade and they're like, woohoo, yeah, that counting thing, that's awesome, but that's for babies. You know, you are going to learn how to add. And you learned how to add. Do you ever go back to counting? No, you're counting 78, 79, you know what I mean, 80. No, you
right,
don't do
right.
that anymore. You're 50 plus 50 is 100. You're counting, then multiplying.
Right.
So it's like you would,
okay.
when you learn this and you implement it and you use asking questions, literally you would have to choose against yourself to not continue using questions.
Okay, that's
questions
an excellent point. Susan, that's an excellent point. We've never made that point before. Let's do that again. You would have to choose against yourself not to move forward.
Yes.
Right?
It's kind of like if you could have figured out how to have abundance, fun, joy, and ease in this life, don't you think you would have by now?
Yeah, I think. That's
oh, yeah.
why I asked you to repeat the one with, you know, I have more than enough money. I had to write that one down. I have more than enough money and always too much to spend. I mean, don't you think that if I figured that out, I would have done that by now?
Yeah, right? What if it's not about
yeah.
figuring anything out? I know this reality right now, planet Earth, you know, 2018, is still teaching people to figure it out. You have to figure it out. What if there's nothing to figure out? You know, what if figuring out slows it down? What if figuring it out means you have to make a decision and come to a conclusion and you know, have a calculation about something, and all of that prevents the energy from moving? I mean, literally, you know, it is crazy, but I'll give you an example. My mom and I were in the car, and I was scheduling an appointment, and they're like, no, 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 we don't have anything. No, 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 we don't. We have nothing available. I go, no, tomorrow, you know, late morning. And they're like, no, we have nothing. I go, you know what? I said, what else is possible here that we might not be willing to acknowledge? And she was like, well, I don't know. I go, you know, you probably never have done this before. This is a scheduling girl. I said, and it's totally probably out of character for you. I go, but would you just do me a favor, write my name and number down, because you will have a cancellation and what would it take for me, right, to get the appointment tomorrow late afternoon? So, again, asking a question, what would it take? And we put the phone down. My mom was sitting next to me. And, maybe all of 5 minutes and the phone call comes in and she says, you're not going to believe this. I go, I bet you I will. And there was an appointment for late morning. I was like, yep, I'm having it because I'm having it. It is like that is the frequency. That's the vibration that I stand in. I am not in lack. I am not in not enough. I am not in not good enough, not smart enough, not talented enough. Are you kidding? I recently just met Kevin O'Leary. He's Mr. Wonderful on Shark Tank, personally. Behind stage, sitting down, I'm not supposed to be back there. And I didn't get lunch. It was incredible. So I said to them, I go, I didn't happen to get lunch out front. I was doing something. They're like, oh, yeah, no problem. So they go and bring me lunch, and I'm backstage. There's only one table, one lamp. I'll show you pictures. It's incredible. I'll post them on Facebook, or I'll post them in your group if you want. And so he comes in. He sits down. We're talking a little bit while, the person in front of him is on stage. And I leaned over, and I said, Kevin. He goes, what? I said, I'm not going to give you my business card. He's like, what? He kind of sat back a little bit. I go, yeah, I'm not giving you my business card. He's like, because, see, everybody does that. Everybody gives him their business card, puts it in his pocket, gives it to him when they shake his hand. Like, that's what they do. They want something from him. They want him to do something for them. And I totally flipped the energy, and I was like, Kevin, I'm not giving it to you. And he leaned over, and he goes, why? Like, he asked me why I wasn't giving my business card. Mr. Wonderful, right? And I said, because everybody gives it to you. And you know what? The next time we meet, you're going to know my name. And he went, oh, okay. He said, well, are we still going to take a picture? Yeah, we're still taking a picture. We went over and we took a picture. It's just the energy. It's being the energy that, is required at the time. So that kind of stuff happens all the time, because I'm having it. I am having it. Whatever it takes, it's happening.
Okay. That's very cool. So I think we can all relate to that. And what I'd like to do is okay, let me put it out there again. Press the number one if you have a question for Susan, if there's something that you want to work through with, whatever. Press the number one. And if you are pressing the number one, I'm not seeing it on the board, so I'm letting you know that. Let us know on the Facebook page, and we'll go that route. So anyway, Susan, let's take that energy a little bit, and let's move it through someone who is listening to this or maybe listening to this and saying, hey, yeah, that sounds great, but you can't – let's go with the skeptic, okay? Let's go with the one that's the skeptic person out there and say, okay, let me be the skeptic. Okay, Susan, it's great for you, but that would never work for me. What am I doing to myself at that point?
Okay, well, you just enjoy – your little happy corner. You enjoy. It's just allowance. It's just allowance. Like, I will allow you to have your point of view. I allow everyone to be where they are. Like, I feel that, like, I'm not here to change anybody. It's like, if you're looking for something, if you're asking for what else is possible, if you know that there's something else, you just don't know where to go or what question to ask or how to get it. That's why I'm here. I'm not here to change anybody. I'm not here to break any beliefs. I'm not here for anyone to have to give anything up. Keep everything. Keep everything and start asking questions.
So, in other words, let me just kind of shift that a little bit. In other words, if you really do believe this doesn't work for you, then it will never work for you because you will be exactly where you are because you are happy where you are, correct?
Yeah, it's like you're going to choose it, Carol, until you don't choose it anymore. And then you'll choose something else. So everyone's going to keep choosing what they're choosing, right, until they're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And then they'll choose something else.
Right. It's kind of like you reach your well, it's kind of like when you're talking with somebody and they're in a situation that's frustrating them and they go, I'll be patient up to a point, and then when I reach my limit, I reach my limit, then watch. And, okay, that's fine, but that's pretty much what you're saying. I've reached my limit. It doesn't work for me anymore. What does work? And let's take that in. I'm going to shift now into a different area, but kind of on the same premise of chronic illness. You know, when people develop a chronic illness, and this is all of us, myself included, when we develop a chronic illness, it's because that's a buildup. That's a situation where it started small and went bigger and became chronic in that it's ever present. So if that's the case, it's the same kind of thing. We stayed in that space and we fermented that space to get to a chronic illness phase. You, my friend, had a diagnosis of a chronic illness, a severe chronic illness, and said, I'm not having that. That's not mine. I'm having health, right?
Yeah, it was, yeah, absolutely. It was definitely, yeah, and I'm having it. It's one of the books that I've I'm having it. I'm having a different possibility. Right. I'm having the life I really like to have. What would it take for me to have
like
it?
If you have any kind of chronic illness or any type of scenario, I'm not having it. That's not the, I'm having, well, I don't know, you know, I wear glasses, so. Okay, I must be having the nearsightedness that I have, but maybe I don't need to. Maybe I need to just say this isn't working for me anymore and start asking questions around that and see what happens.
Well, actually, that is your body. So your body, there is the aging process on planet Earth, and you know sight. You know, deprivate, like there's a lot of things that happen with age and with aging of the body that energetically, like, is still present, a lot of beliefs. So I can give you an example. Here in the United States, how do we do aging? We do a cane, and then it goes to a walker, and then a wheelchair, and then a hospital bed, and then you're in hospice, and then, you know, you're in the ground, or you're in an urn. Well, if it was a universal truth, so universally for humanity, if this was a truth, then every human would have these experiences. So I was talking with women who lived in, I think, Trinidad in the islands, and I was talking with them, and they're like, you know, why do you do that? You know, I felt like the two-year-old, you know, why do you Americans do that? And we're like, what are you talking about? Like, they're like, well, we don't do that. We're like, well, how do you do aging and olding? And they have their elderly live with them. Everybody gets up in the morning. They all go out to the field. They all do their work. They come home that day. And the next morning, their elderly just don't wake up. Like, that's how they do aging, olding, and death. So what is it about the United States here where we have, you know, who said that this was the process? Who advertised it? Who is backing it? Who makes money from it? You know, what if this was a lie? The way things are happening. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, what if, because your point of view is because you've aligned and agreed with it, Carol, right? Because this is the way it is. This is the way it's always been. This is how we do it. How many times have you heard your parents say that, or your spouse or a friend of yours, that's what, then there's nothing else that can show up for you because that's the way you've done it. That's the way you've always done it.
That's the first thing we go to. It's like, well, I'm getting older, so this is what must be happening. We don't even question it. We just let it happen.
I know. And that's a conclusion.
Okay, so that's a conclusion. We live in the conclusion.
Yeah. So what if, like, that wasn't actually true?
Mm-hmm.
Doing aging and olding that way. What if there was a different possibility? What if, because thoughts create things.
I just thought of something, and you tell me what you know about this. And I am cutting you short on that for just a second. You know, people who live to be 100, 101, who are out, you know, 103, whatever, out dancing or just, you know, and everybody has the same question. How do you do it? And, well, I smoked a pack of cigarettes every day, or I never smoked and I only ate chocolate or whatever. And everybody has a different answer. But what if, and here's a question, change your life. What if they just weren't having the aging process that you just described?
Bingo. My next-door neighbor, she turns 95 this year, and she needed some help to get her new license, and we were going to do it online. So she had to get a doctor's note. Anytime you're 80 years or age of age or older, you have to get a physician to do an eye exam, and you have to, you know, submit that with your license renewal. So we did, and she said, oh, I'm so excited to, you know, have another year of driving. And I went, yeah, I'm so excited for you too. And I said, well, what do you mean one more year? I said, we just renewed it. I think you get like, you know, 5 or 7 more years. She goes, oh, no. She said, just one more year for me. And I'm like, really? Why is that? And she said, because then I'll be old.
Oh, that's good. So here she, that's good.
95, right? It's her point of view. So she's already decided. She's not even 95 yet. It's this month. March 31st. She turns 95. But she's already decided that at 96, she'll be old and she can't drive anymore. And we have these. We have these points of view just like that as an example, Carol, that we have that are running in the background of our life. And we're trying to create our life, and we're you know, looking for things, searching for things to create more happiness and joy and ease and income and money and, you know, fun and laughter, you know, but we have all these other windows open. So our life is kind of buffering, just like your computer buffers when you're trying to upload or download something, and it crashes just like our life. And it's when we close out those windows that are all open in the background that you have more bandwidth. You know what I mean? They're not all taking up your bandwidth. You know, you actually have more space to choose from, and that's what happens when you ask a question. It actually starts to open up and give you more bandwidth to create in your life. Everything's energy.
Well, how cool is that? I mean, it really doesn't get much better than that. If what you've just described is the more questions that you ask, the bigger the possibilities, and you just keep moving forward.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. 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 Asking questions.
Oh.
Yes. Support you in changing your life. Absolutely.
Yeah. So we really then have no excuse. Would you agree? We just need to ask the right questions.
Well, it's a matter of, you know, and there's not even a right or a wrongness with it. It's just asking a question that is a question versus something that is a statement with a question mark at the end of it. Because we think those are questions.
Give me an example.
Well, I'm trying to think of one. But
foreign for you. You don't think that way, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like where you've already concluded it and you're like, right? You know how you say that at the end of a question, like, right? Like, you want someone to confirm and validate that what you've already decided. You know, that would be, like, a non-question. That would be a conclusion with a question mark at the end of it.
Got it. Okay. So, all right, let's pick a topic, because you do a bunch of different topics as it relates to change your ask a question, change your life, right? You do health, you do money, you do body, right?
Body, sex, business.
Business, sex, okay. So we'll pick a topic we haven't talked about, Susan. What about
business?
Can you hear me? I'm sorry. We kind of are cutting out a little bit on each other. So you first, go ahead.
Business? Did we talk about business?
No, we didn't. Let's do that.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm a small business owner. You're a small business owner. Your business, you just met Kevin O'Leary. I haven't. So what do I need? What kinds of questions do I need to ask to change my circle?
Well, how much of your life, Carol, have you spent trying to figure out what other people want from you and then delivering it to them? A little, a lot, or a megaton?
I'm in healthcare, so that's like a redundant question.
So do you refuse to hire the help that you'd really like to have in your life?
Wait, you broke up. Ask me that again.
Sure. Do you refuse to have enough money to hire the help that you'd really like to have in your life?
Do I refuse? No. I don't refuse that.
Okay.
I mean, I don't refuse having enough money. I mean, I would like to have enough money. You know, that whole I have more than enough money and always too much to spend concept works for me. That works. That whole concept works really well.
So what is it about money and hiring help? Can you do it yourself? Is it not
can
worth it?
Can I do
it?
Work myself?
Uh-huh. Yeah, to hire help that you really like to help.
Most of the time it's not a good thing. If I need help and I need to hire help, then if I could do it myself, I would. But, why would I need to hire someone if I could do it myself? So, no, I it's not that I can do it myself. So I guess maybe the way you posed that question to me, see, this is exactly why I learn something from you every time we talk. The way that you posed that question to me, I thought you were asking me, do I refuse to move forward and have, whatever the question was, assistance or more money in my life or whatever you asked me, I thought you were asking me, was I rejecting that? And the answer is no, I'm not rejecting that, not consciously.
So then you'd hire the help that you'd really like to have. So it's
right.
Not about, see what I'm saying? Because you've decided that if you could do it yourself, you would do it yourself and you wouldn't hire the help. What if your
okay.
value
that's
top,
conclusion?
Value,
is that a conclusion?
Yeah. So what if your value, right, was far more expensive than it was for somebody else to do it for you?
Okay, give me an example. Well, go ahead. Give me an example.
Okay, so take Kevin O'Leary. You know, does Kevin O'Leary clean his house?
Probably, my guess would be no.
Okay. Can he do it?
Sure.
Does he need help? No, he can do it, right? He doesn't actually need
right.
help, right?
Right.
But how much value is he at the same amount of time that it would take somebody else to do it? Do you know what I mean? Like, what's in his best interest, to go make more money with his time? His time is that valuable, or it's to go clean his house.
Right. It's to go make more money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what millionaires think. That's how, wealthy people, it's like, wait a minute, wash my own car? What? Like, I could go make three deals. I could go sell a piece of property. You know what I mean? So it's like, what is it worth to you? What is your time and your energy worth to you? So we literally, in that case, you'd be refusing to have enough money to hire the help that you'd really like to have. Because do you like cleaning your house? Do you like doing your bookkeeping? Do you like washing your car? Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. And if you don't, what would you be refusing to not have enough money to hire someone else that you'd really like to have?
Yeah, everything when you pose a question like that, it shifts. It's a totally different thought process when you do that.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm doing. And when we ask these questions, they go to the unconscious, the subconsciousness, and we bring out, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, that's what that is. Mm-hmm. So face value is like what you were first hearing in the question. Like, no, I wouldn't refuse having enough money to hire someone. And then it got to the next level of it when you said, well, I wouldn't need help. If I know how to do it, I wouldn't hire anybody. I could do it myself. And then we got to the next layer. Do you know what I mean?
Yep. And so all right, so then that would be the average person, right? Because everybody has layers and you got to move, keep moving forward. So, and you did. You just moved me right out of, you just shifted me right out of that.
Yeah, I know, right? And now you have a different possibility. How cool is that?
Right.
Like, wait a minute, I am refusing this.
Yeah,
and
you know, and you go, yeah, seriously, you go, really? That just, it just doesn't even cross your mind that you would be refusing that. It's not even something that most of us would even remotely think for a second that we would refuse. But we do
right.
it all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah, and your point of view of needing help, why? I can do it myself. That's that loop. So you can't actually receive a different possibility because you've already decided that that's the way it's going to be. And it's one of those windows that you have open, and it's one of those what I call invisible limitations that you're not aware of. That when asking a question such as this one, it opens the door. See, it cracked the door up when you're like, wait a minute, I see what's on the other side here. And I'm having that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Carol.
So
vulnerable. Thank you. You are so brave. I am so grateful for you. Thank you.
Why? Because I just I just put myself right out there, which is what I'm supposed to do. I want people to understand that, it's simple, but it's almost too simple, you know?
Yeah. It's not rocket science.
Yeah, it really isn't.
Yeah, and
wow.
It's a whole lot of fun. I got to tell you, it's a whole lot of fun. Like, it's a completely different layer of joy. And yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And
manifesting
happens, like, really fast. Really fast manifestation. Because as you start asking questions, you let go of everything that locked the previous before the question in place. And when you let go of the stuff that locked your previous point of view or your previous energy level in place, you actually free up, Carol, and here's the beauty of this. You actually free up everybody else that was helping you hold it in place.
Hmm. Wow.
Because they don't have to defend for or against it, right? They have choice now with it because you asked the question. You have choice. You can choose something else.
So
that's the consciousness and the revolutionary shift that's taking place on the planet is moving so quickly, you know, at an exponential rate, because people after people are giving up old points of view. They're giving up old programming. They're giving up old systems. They're asking questions. They're moving forward. They're, you know, making a conscious choice to be conscious with, to move themselves and their family and their friends and their family and their businesses, you know, to the next point. To a higher vibrational frequency where choice is available versus being in no choice before the question.
So just by shifting one thing in your life, you can shift many things in your life, and then you can also start to shift issues and people around you. Is that correct?
You're not shifting anything. You are being your authentic self. You are stepping into your power and your potency, and you're like, look, I'm having it. I'm having health.
Yeah.
I'm having wealth. I'm having happiness. And whatever it's going to take, I'm having it. And what would it take? And start choosing for you, always. You know, oh, we have to go over here. You don't have to do anything. You choose what's going to work for you. And that frees up everybody else to choose what's going to work for them, too.
Wow.
That's such a gift.
I don't think we've ever really gotten to that with all the conversations that we've had, Susan. I don't think we've ever really gotten to that. I think we've said it. We've said it in so many different ways, but I don't think we actually got to that particular point where we could actually say, look, it's about you. It's about choosing for you and only you and releasing everything else that doesn't pertain to you.
Yeah, like you don't have any control over that anyway.
Right. That's
the
true.
The only thing you have control over is what you think and what you say and what you do. That's it. We try to control everything else. You know, we think we do a good job. You know what I mean? But, you know, it's just this, you're in a totally different possibility with asking a question. You know, it actually raises vibrational frequency. It's amazing, Carol. It is. It's like when you get like a whole bunch of people together, you know what I mean? And they're all asking questions. Like the laughter is contagious. Like you can't, and it's funny because you will notice everybody else's conclusions. It's like, oh, okay, that's interesting. And allowing them to have their point of view about whatever it is. And they'll get it when they get it.
And you can feed on each other then, because you can help each other steer that whole process.
Yeah. Everyone will get it when they get it. It's like they'll keep choosing what they're choosing until they don't, and then they choose something else.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense. I like that. So tell us, we have just a couple of minutes left and nobody's pressing one. So why don't you tell us how asking a question changed your life recently?
Sure. So I was asking a question about what it would take to raise a vibrational frequency on the planet. And I started to get awareness of these different possibilities that were available. So as these different possibilities would show up, I would ask, so is this what I've been asking for? Truth, is this what I've been asking for? Yeah, and it wasn't at all what I thought it would be. I thought I would be on stage like Deepak Chopra or Marianne Williamson or Abraham Hicks. I thought I'd be on stage, you know, preaching on the soapbox on stage. But it didn't. It showed up as video, and it showed up as channel partners. So I have a channel on Binge Networks and one on Roku, and it's Unlocking Your Limitless Life. And literally I share these points of view that people have that have them locked in place. And it allows people to have the awareness of choosing something else, that you don't have to keep choosing what you've been choosing. So by asking questions, I actually open the door for these possibilities to show up. Because if I was like, oh no, this is how I have to do it, I have to get on stage, I have to be a speaker, I have to perform my speech, that would all be conclusionary. And when I was asking, you know, what would it take and what would this look like and what would this like to be, and it's revolutionary, literally. Like being on stage is so what I like to call 10 seconds ago, because that's the way the information got out in masses then. Now it's all live stream. Now it's all on channel networking. You know, it's not even TV. It's not anymore. So it's not only revolutionary, but it's evolutionary.
Wow. Susan, that's fabulous. How do people – do people get in touch with you these days, or are you available for people, you know, if they want to work with you?
Absolutely. I would love to. Yeah. So we're getting ready to launch Binge Networks on the 28th. So we're kind of like doubling down over these next 7 days for our launch date. But absolutely, we can definitely absolutely find space. It would be my honor, Carol, to work with, you know, you, any of your listeners. It would just be amazing. And they can just email me at susanschatzer@gmail.com, or you can
go to Facebook, or I'm on Carol's Facebook. You can go to the Whole Scoop Facebook group, right, Carol? And my information will be there.
Absolutely. The Blog Talk, the Whole Scoop Blog Talk Radio group. Absolutely.
And then on Blog Talk, go there. And my website, SusanChasser.com. Lots of ways. Lots of ways.
Wonderful. Susan, you're fabulous. And I know you're coming back. And she will be back. So get your questions ready, because, like, I think everybody was just blown away tonight. I think we were really just trying to get – I'm just feeling that people are going, wow, that's easy. Wow, that's amazing. You know, and they're not – nobody asked the question. So that's funny for ask a question, change your life, and nobody asked the question? Really? So it's kind of funny. But we're going to take that and we're going to run with it for the next time that you come back, and we're going to say congratulations to Susan for all the new wonderful things that she has coming up in her life and all the launch that's about to take place. You're fabulous. Please keep us posted on the Facebook page. Let us know what you're doing. Okay.
Absolutely. And I think the next show you and I are doing is To Hell With Your Point of View.
Yep, that's exactly what we're doing, To Hell With Your Point of View. So tonight you had the opportunity to ask a question and change your life. Next one we're going to tell you to hell with your point of view, because it probably ain't working for you. So we're going to go with that, and we're going to get ready to say goodbye. Susan, we'll see you the next time.
Thank
I believe
you.
That's going to be on April 26th, right?
Yes.
Okay. So Susan will be back on April 26th, so when you start to see our promos and you're thinking about that, to hell with your point of view, think about that. Maybe your point of view isn't really getting you where you think you're going, or where you should be going, or where you think you should be going. Think about it. With that, I'm going to say goodnight to everybody. I'm going to say thank you. I'm going to let you know that our next show is going to be March 8th with Mary Ellen Philbin. She's with Share the Care in Orlando. So any of you that may be experiencing caregiving or want to know more about resources for caregiving or what's going on, talk to us. Come visit with us on the 8th with Mary Ellen Philbin. She's fabulous. She's been with us before. So we'll see you then. Susan, good night. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Thanks, Carol. Bye.
Bye.